When you're not here, you miss it. At least I do. It's like, wow, yay, we get to go back to church this week.
That's right.
Whew. Hey, you know what? We had a great family time. So God worked amazing miracles, and the kids loved it. We still went shopping, which that was our main goal last weekend. So, but I know that we have, I would like to pray for our daughters. We have two that are home and not feeling well, and I've heard from a couple other people this week that they're not feeling well, and when we were in the doctor's office with Lacey, they were like, this is going to be the worst season ever, and I just was like, you know what? No, we're not going there. So I'd just like to agree as a body over all of you and those that are home that are not well, it ends today. We're done. Amen? So, Father, we just thank you and we praise you that your word says you will bless our bread and you'll bless our water and you'll take sickness away even from our midst. That means when we walk into our schools and into our jobs, into the grocery store, sickness has to flee. Yes. And so we speak over every home, starting with ours, that the peace of God and the healing power of God is touching our girls right now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against this church body is going to prosper. Father, I thank you for a covering. You said you protect us by the power of your name and that you have a shield about us, Father. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, today that we are protected by the name that is above every name. Every name that could possibly be out there for a virus or flu or whatever, we are covered by your name today. So in the name of Jesus, we speak to sickness and we say, you have no right to come on us. Almost like that fabric that repels water, that it hits, but it just kind of dribbles right off. We just thank you that we have a repellent of sickness, that it may try to come against us, but it's just going to dribble right off. It's not going to penetrate. It's not going to stay with us. And everyone around us is also going to be a part of that blessing because it is not going to be in our midst. And we just praise you and we thank you for the wholeness that is happening right now. To every person, you sent your word and you healed them, and we send your word today and we speak. They are healed in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Woo! It's good to be back in church. Amen. Amen. Well, most of you got, and the kids will get theirs in my class, your 30 days of praise. This is something that we do every November. It should be something that we do all the time, but November is a great time because of Thanksgiving to really focus in on praising the Lord for the things that he's doing in your lives. And so I would encourage you, make it a daily thing. Don't just go through and write 30 things down, but make it a daily thing. Take time out of your day every day for 30 days to praise the Lord because it makes a difference. It takes your eyes off of all the things that seem to be going wrong and puts them on who's the author of making everything right. Amen. And it just changes your attitude. And I think it's amazing that Thanksgiving comes before Christmas.
Right.
He's having us be thankful first, right? So that we have the right hearts when we enter into the holiday season. So make sure you grab one of those if you didn't already on your way out. We are continuing on with our journey with Jesus. And today it's in Luke chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Luke chapter 12. And verse 13 is where we're going to start, and I'll read it to you. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful." And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" So he said, so is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. I've heard a lot of pastors take this scripture and not get the right context. They're like, see, you should not be rich. You should not be saving things up, because it's a great example that this man, you know, made a bigger barn and stored up more things, so we should not do that. But that's contrary to what the Bible also says when he says that a righteous man should leave an inheritance for his children's children. If you don't have things put away somewhere, what are you leaving for them, right? And you look at the patriarchs. They left blessings for their sons. Abraham didn't just leave it to his first. He left it to all of his sons. They all got a little bit of something from him, right? And he was considered a righteous man before the Lord, right? And so that's not what's being said here. You have to go back to the very first thing that was asked of Jesus at the beginning. What did the man say? Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Tell him to give it to me. Tell me to give me some. I want part of that. We know in those days, and still in a lot of cultures, that the firstborn son is the son who received the inheritance or the blessing, right? Doesn't tell us what order it is, but I'm guessing this brother wasn't first. I'm guessing he was somewhere down the line. And he came to Jesus, and he didn't ask to be healed. He didn't ask the Lord to bless his life. What did he say? Tell my brother. Well, guess what? Your brother is not your source. His heart was not in the right place. That's why Jesus told him, who am I to judge between you and your brother? Because why? Because he's without sin, cast the first stone, right? Jesus is looking at him going, dude, you don't even want me to start here. So I'll help you out, okay? And then he changes and he turns to everyone else and he says what? Beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Sometimes people's things become their gods. And we've talked about this over and over and over in this church. Money should not rule you. And how do you know if money rules you? If money is all you think about. You will never have enough money to make you satisfied. But your money can be a tool that God can use to bless you and to bless others. And what was the very last comment that Jesus said? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward who? God. Today I encourage you, be rich toward God. How do you do that? You don't do this. In the story that Jesus gave of the parable, what was the man doing? He wasn't storing it up so he can bless. We don't read anything about here about he left more for the people to glean. Doesn't say that he gave to those in need. It doesn't say that he sowed extra. It said he built more barns so he could store more up for who? Himself. His fist was like this. We've talked about it. When you make a fist, can you give anything? No, not really. Nothing can flow through. But if you open your hand up, we've demonstrated before with rice. Your hand will still have rice in it, but what does it also do? It leaks out. It flows through so that others can be blessed. Others can be a part of the blessing that the Lord has on your life. In order to be rich toward God means, first of all, you have to check your heart. Are you depending on someone else besides the Lord for your blessing, for your provision? Have you talked to the Lord ever and said, Lord, tell my brother to give me part of my inheritance. Your brother can't be your source. Brothers can be a blessing. I have a great brother, and he blesses all of us sisters all the time. Always has. But my brother is not my source. The Lord flows through him, absolutely. But he's not my source. God is your source today. The government isn't your source. Your job isn't your source. Your income isn't your source. Your Social Security isn't your source. There is only one source, and it's your Heavenly Father. He flows through all different kinds of ways, but he is your number one source. That we have to make sure we got that taken care of, not our brothers. God is our source. And then we have to be careful for covetousness. What is that? Wanting what someone else has. It's okay to look at a house and go, woo! I'd like to own something like that someday. Versus a heart that says, I want that house. Why did they get that house? They shouldn't have got that house. I serve the Lord better than they do. Why are they driving that car? I give more of my tithes and offerings, well, at least I think I do, than they do. I give to missions too. Do you see the difference in the hearts? One heart is wanting something for themselves. They're only giving in the tithes and offering because of they wanting back. Now, a farmer plants a seed, and absolutely, they plant a seed, they're going to walk away. They're going to expect a crop. There's a difference, right? They've done something. They've planted, they've sowed, they've watered, they've tended, and a harvest comes in. Well, we see, that's what this man was. He was a farmer. I don't read anywhere in this passage that he stopped and gave glory to God. He gave glory to himself by saying, I will build these barns and these vats bigger than before. Can I tell you something? There is not one farmer in America that doesn't know God exists. You know why? Because they plant a seed, and then it's up to the Lord to do that. They can't make something grow. They can try. They can cultivate. They can put it in, you know, the, not heat houses, hot houses. They can try their ways to do things, but it ultimately comes down to the Lord has to make that seed grow. Amen? So we see his heart was not in the right place. Today, in our journey with Jesus, the Lord is saying to us, be rich toward God. Now, for most of you in this room, I don't even have to second guess if your hearts are rich toward God. Because I have seen your blessings over and over and over again. I have seen your faithfulness. When you look at these lives, and we get excited about Randy and Louie, and we get excited about Bolivia, and like Pastor Steve was saying, in the end of December, Japan, our missionaries from Japan are coming to visit us, and we're going to be able to bless them. And we look at that, and we go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But can I tell you something? It's life-changing for them. There was no way for the Mishlers to come home. None. Let me say that again. None. None. But your faithfulness and your obedience made a way. Made a way. That tells me you are not like this man. You aren't just storing things up and hoarding it for yourself. Because when something comes up, where are you at? Right there. Here's my hand. It's flowing through. Flowing through. Flowing through. Rich toward God. Now, sometimes we can be rich toward God, and then there'll be things in our lives that will come along, and they'll make us think twice. They'll make us think twice. I had a comment made to me because so many of you have been giving above and beyond what the amount that I had set aside for the Mishlers. The comment had been made, well, what are you going to do with the rest of it? What do you mean, what am I going to do with the rest of it? It's going to the Mishlers. Right? But they already have the money that you sent. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. The Lord is giving exceedingly and abundantly above. So why is it important to us to be obedient? Because the Lord wants to bless them. Not just get them up here trying to be as tight-fisted as they can to get up here. He wants them to be blessed, to know they're loved. How many times have you been blessed and it was over and above what you needed? How does that make you feel inside? Loved. Wow. My God loves me. He's not just taking care of us one need. He's doing above. So I have more than enough to enjoy myself. Amen? That's the importance of being obedient and being rich toward God. So when those little thoughts come in of, well, you already fulfilled that pledge, so you don't need to give anymore. Even if the Lord already told you to give more. See what I'm saying? Well, you gave your tithes and offerings. You don't need to give any more. But the Lord already told you to give more earlier in the week. You have to be really careful because the enemy is not going to come up with you with a sign that says, hello, I'm the devil. I'm here to change your mind about money. It'd be so much easier if he did, right? Because we'd recognize. But that those little things, those little thoughts that come in, we want to make sure we keep our hearts right with the Lord. Why? Because the Lord did bless this man. He did bless him. He had a huge harvest. Amen? But in one heartbeat, it was gone. One heartbeat. When I go home to be with the Lord, I do hope I have lots stored up for my kids and my grandkids, as his word says. And then beyond that, so I can still be giving to every good work, that it's still flowing, it's still reaching people, it's still touching lives. Amen? Not just to be stored up so I can have a monument somewhere. Amen? But so that we can be known as givers. Grab your tithes and offering. Father, I just thank you so much for this journey that we've been going on, seeing the things that you told us about Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you that we have been learning the lesson of being rich toward God for years. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you that every person here, Lord, that we would not let the enemy come in, even in the smallest way, to kill, steal, or destroy our giving hearts, but that we're going to have hearts that are so tender to you that when a word comes, Father, or you speak to us in the quietness of our hearts, Father, give here, give there. We're not going to even question God. We're going to be obedient. And we're going to see the blessings, Father. We're going to see them with our own eyes, the blessings that happen when we are obedient. We praise you and we thank you for the harvest that we know is ours in you, Father. As we sow our seed, Father, we are farmers. So we are looking for that harvest to happen. We want to be responsible with the harvest, Father. We want to be able to do what you said and give to every good work. We want to be able to store something so that we can be a blessing to our children and our children's children. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, that money does not rule us. We are in charge of the money that you give us. And we praise you and we thank you today that we would be rich, that people begin saying that. You are so rich when it comes to the things of God. Wow. And we praise you for that today. Bless every seed that's sown. Bless the sower. We thank you, Father, for a hundredfold harvest. We just call it in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And as we move into a time of year where there is more giving that happens, Father, I praise you and I thank you that as we pray every year, when it comes to the end of December, our checkbooks are still going to show black. No red. There's going to be more than enough, and we'll still be able to give to every good work. We praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So go ahead, Randy, and come and collect the tithes and offerings. And we wanted to also be sharing with you on the table back there is a piece of paper for the Fish Food Bank. We're going to do every other year the shoebox blessings. So it'll be shoebox blessings and Fish Food Bank. And this year, my goal is for us to do 50 bags for the homeless window. The Fish Food Bank has a window where the homeless can walk up, and I really want 50 bags. So the first 50 people that walk up on Christmas Day get a Christmas bag. And it's going to have, there's a list of things back there. If you can buy one pair of socks, great. Absolutely. Whatever you can do, take the list, and each week I will update you on how we're doing and where we're at. So there's the homeless window, and then there's the kids. And I shared last year when we took in toys, if you find toys, great, but we have a lot of toys that are in our storage unit that I'm so excited. We already got them. They're already paid for, and they're waiting. If you wanted to bring in more, I'm not going to say no. We can do more. Yes. The collection? We're starting on the 1st of December, and so I'm telling you now because Black Friday's coming up and all kinds of crazy, wonderful deals. And so the kids, last year I was sharing that I took in a box of toys. We didn't have as much to give last year. I didn't even know that they were doing it, but they have a tree where parents can come and take a gift for their kids. I walked up to the door. They took the toys from my hand. I unloaded some extra food that we had brought. I turned around to get into my car, and a lady was walking out with two of our toys. So I'm telling you, it goes straight to the kids. You don't have to wonder, is it going to them? It's going straight to them. So we also will be doing, if you have any extra clothes in good condition, any extra coats, they have like a little store where the people can come in and they get a certain amount of clothing items depending on their income. If they're homeless, they actually can come in every day to get a warm pair of clothes. So you can start bringing those if you want to, and we'll be able to store them. I would like to have everything collected by our Christmas program day, which is the 16th? I think it's the 16th of December. I'll send out that email and let everybody know our Christmas schedule, but it is also back there on the what's going on board. And so on that day, we will collect, that'll be our final collection day because we want to make sure we can prepare them and get them to the fish food bank. So again, anything you can do on the list is great. We do have some extra funds that are set aside. If you don't like shopping, you can always just designate it under special, under your giving, and we'll do the shopping for you. Make it real easy. So, all right, that's it.
Amen. We thank you for the power of your words to us today. We thank you, Lord, that every promise in your word is yes and amen to us who believe, Lord. And we believe it. Somebody say, I believe it. So, God, thank you for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. Well, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And if you have a little, you know, marker, maybe Galatians chapter 3. And so excited. You know, Shelley mentioned this time of the year, how wonderful it is. It's one of our favorite times of the year. It's the most wonderful time. we have a wonderful time. Amen. And I remember growing up in a Foursquare church out in Eagle Creek Foursquare Church, and some dear friends of ours pastored that, and just how awesome the holidays were. And even at my days with New Beginnings Christian Center, the holidays are big, and the holidays should be big in the church, right? The church is an extended family for you, right? We're the family of God, the family of faith, the household of faith. So we celebrate together, we worship God together, but just looking forward to wonderful times. Amen. And be looking for people that God might put on your heart to invite, because holidays are also one of the biggest times of the year people are dealing with stuff, right? Depression and family issues and all sorts. I think suicide rates escalate a little bit. I mean, it's just the devil trying to kill people, right? And mess people up. So be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. I mean, we're calling people in, but, you know, for the north, south, east, and west in our prayers, but we also need to be calling people in. Amen? Reaching out to them, being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. I post things on Facebook now and then just to people that are out there. And, you know, even if they're in other parts of the world, we're encouraging them to get to church. Somebody say, get to church, right? And I'm not saying this is the only church or the church they should be in, but there are people out there that this is the church they need to be in. Praise the Lord. But we're spokesmen for the church, spokeswomen for the church. I posted something last night, and just again where we're meeting at, and like, get to church. It's good for you. Amen. And it is. Hallelujah, right? I've told my kids lately, I was like, guys, I don't just go to church because it's my job. It's my job, whatever, right? It's like, no. If I wasn't preaching today, I'd be listening to somebody else preaching today. I'd be somewhere in church. Why? Because that's what you do when you believe the Bible, you believe God's word. We come to church, and I think the first part of the year, I've already felt a theme for next year. Our theme for this year has been promotion from God, right? Has anybody experienced any kind of promotion, supernatural promotion, whether it's financially, business, ministry, right? So we're believing God for those things. But next year, I believe the word is fellowship, communion, oneness with Jesus. That's the impression I feel from the Lord as far as our theme as a church. And I believe the first part of the year I'm going to be, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks on why do we go to church? I mean, that's a practical question, right? It's like, why should you be in church? Well, not, you know, preaching to the choir, so to speak, but I've been in the choir, and the choir needs preaching, right? Because I was in the choir, right? But so it's going to be a wonderful 2019. The Lord, it's like about this time of the year, he impresses on me a theme for the next year. And man, I have my iPhone with me, and there's times where I just have to pull over and type things. Oh yeah, that and that and that and that. It's like, we'll never get to it all next year, but there's themes. There's things God is doing. And we also really love the prophetic ministry of the Copelands and the Sevilles and people like that. And he was sharing about some things about next year that he'll share at his New Year's Eve service. But one of the big words is change, right? Obviously, vision 2020. Hello, right? 2020 vision. So double vision. Whatever God is doing in your life, believe for the double on it, and just super whatever change you've been believing God for. Anybody believing God for any kind of change in your life, right? I'm not talking pocket change. I'm talking supernatural. Man, be believing, be confessing. But for me, I just have this renewed sense that everything God wants to do in my life, everything I do, has to come out of my fellowship with Jesus, not out of my religious duty or out of whatever, you know? No. Everything I do, everything I say, everywhere I go, every offering I sow into, every sermon I preach, every person I encourage, everything I do, my job, my day-to-day job, right? I work a day-to-day job like a lot of everybody does, right? And he's reminding me, do this out of a sense of your fellowship with me. Do it as unto me. Amen. So whatever you're doing flows from your fellowship with him. But we're believing God. We're believing God. Amen. And I'm just excited about it. So be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost to witness to people. What does that mean? Well, it means, what has God done for you in your life? And it's so easy for us to get burdened down with everywhere we're missing it. I don't know about you, but I'm missing it here. I'm missing it there. What do I have to tell John about? My goodness. Well, John might be even worse off than you are at that point, right? And John may, if the rapture happened, John may not be in it, okay? So tell John something. And, you know, when I feel discouraged, this is all the Holy Ghost right now, obviously, but when I feel discouraged, one of the main things God tells me to do is find someone to encourage. Send a text, call somebody. Lord, who do I need to call? Because obviously I need to encourage somebody right now because I feel discouraged. Well, first of all, encourage yourself in the Lord by praying in the Spirit, get in the Word. Sometimes you just need to reach out of your shell and out of the tomb. Somebody say, out of the tomb, out of the dead place, and bring life to somebody else. And man, you will break through. You will break through. And, you know, just share with them something God's done in your life. Offer to pray for them. Amen. I've heard multiple testimonies this week from people in this church saying, hey, where do you go to church? There you go. You share with them where you go, invite them. Amen. One of our sisters this morning had other things going on, but she came to church just in case the person she invited shows up, so she could say hi to them and welcome them, because she had other things she had. What a wonderful way to think, right? But it comes to, are we intentionally thinking that way? Amen? I have to remind myself that in my day job with sales. I'm in sales. I don't lie to people, but I'm supposed to be thinking about, what else can I do for them? And if I let that slip, I'll stop selling. Right? But if I'm constantly thinking, yes, I'm here to do this for you, but you could also use this too. And just bringing that up. Amen? So the Holy Ghost might give you things to bring up to somebody. Instead of waiting for them to bring it up, you bring it up. Right? Hey, brother, sister, you been going to church anywhere? That pastor over there made me mad. Oh, well, let's pray about that. You know what the Word of God says about forgiveness, and pastors are people too, and the church did, oh, Donald Trump, this and that. had one lady this week attack President Trump right in front of me at the table, right? And you start, it's like, no, you can't get angry. And I went to, well, here's four reasons why I voted for him. Pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-Israel, amen. And I said, hey, you don't have to love the man, and she was a Christian, right? And I said, you don't have to love the man's personality, but the policies, if you're a Christian, they kind of line up, right? So you just look for opportunities to shine the light, not judge people and argue with people and that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying, right? But we're being witnesses for Jesus everywhere we go, everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Well, Philippians, let's get on to the healing service today. Praise the Lord. It's all the Holy Ghost. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. Who are we talking about? Somebody say Jesus, right? And given him the name which is above every name. Somebody say Jesus is the name. Say that. Jesus is the name above every name. Hallelujah. So God has given him the name that's above every name, that at the name, verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, Galatians, if you flip over to Galatians chapter 3, isn't that glorious about the name of Jesus? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GE Power Company. Galatians 3 and verse 13. It says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's say that out loud. Christ has redeemed me. Say that. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Right? Hallelujah. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Praise God. So Jesus bore the whole curse on himself. And what's the curse? Well, you can read Deuteronomy 28, and I think chapter 6 and 8 of Deuteronomy goes through a list of things of the blessing and the curse. God says, I put before you today life and death. Choose life, right? So pretty much anything that's bad, well, it's not pretty much, anything that's bad is of the curse. So there's a lot of believers out there, I'm talking born-again Christian people, that think things like sickness or poverty or addictions, well, God might have put that on you to keep you humble. No, that's religion. Religion teaches people that, right? Jesus became the curse for me when he hung on the tree so that I can be free of it, right? And that's not just pie in the sky when we die. Right? We're talking, like Pastor Huck would say, down on the ground while we're still around. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because the more freedom that you're walking in, the more light is going to shine from you. That's why the devil wants to keep you in the dark. Even though he knows he lost you, he wants to keep you sick, keep you broke, keep you depressed, keep you bound, keep you addicted, so that you will shut up about this Jesus, right? And if you do start getting freedom, he'll put guilt on you, right? Oh, look at how much you got in the bank. Look at that job you got. Look at that car. Shame on you. Shame on you. You fleshy thing, you. he's just a stupid liar, the devil, right? No, you take whatever God's doing in your life and you turn it into a testimony to other people, right? Jesus blessed me. Jesus healed me. Jesus is delivering me. Jesus is providing for me. And he'll provide for you too. If you put your faith in him, he'll do the same thing for you that he's done for me and is doing for me, right? Amen. So Jesus became the curse for me. But this is a confession here on your notes from kcm.org. And I want us to say this together if you have the notes. Anybody need a copy of the notes? Are you all good? Okay. Praise the Lord. So we're going to say this together. Say this out loud. Jesus is the name above all names. His name is above every sickness and disease, and every sickness and disease must bow to his name. So I speak the name of Jesus over every part of my body today. I declare that his name is driving out anything that is under the curse because he has redeemed me from the curse. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Steve, don't you know that the sicker you are, the stronger your immune system will be. So it's okay to go ahead and get some. Don't tell me that. Right? The sicker you get, the stronger your immune system will be. No thanks. I'm going to choose to believe God's word in this situation, right? If I'm sick, I'm not going to declare, well, hallelujah, at least my immune system. That sounds like an oxymoron to me, right? It's like saying, drink responsibly. Know your limit. No. I'm going to believe what God's word says. Jesus is the name above the flu. Jesus is the name above cancer, diabetes, right? Whatever the health issue is, amen? And we say his name over these things, his name, his name. Somebody say, Jesus. So you, if something rises up against you that you know, the Holy Ghost will show you. He'll turn the light on. That's why the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, to remind you of what's yours and what's not yours. Steve, there's a fever in your house. There's a fever in your house. Take authority. Anoint heads with oil. Bind and loose. And that's what we've been doing. And there's been a little battle this week. Been a little battle this week. But we're winning. We got the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I've got two kids that have been battling fevers and coughs for a week. And I'm here preaching healing. What sense does that make? That's what the devil would say. But you know what? We preach God's word. We don't preach our experiences. We don't preach, we don't come in here preaching what we're going through. That doesn't help anybody. We preach what God's word says. And we find something to be thankful for in the middle of whatever battle you're going through. Because I'll guarantee you, there's a lot of things to be thankful for no matter what things look like in our lives. Lord, thank you that, hey, my elbow doesn't hurt. This week I had to do we had our vacation planned and we ended up having to do a funeral that day for a family member of mine that passed away, right? And then the next day, this virus came into my house that has been battling us all week. And then one day this week, I got bit on the wrist by a dog at work. Never been bit before in my life. This little wiener dog. I'm out. You know, talking to a customer, practicing what I do, you know, in my day job, and his dog jumps out of his car and just charges at me, and I'm thinking, oh, you little cute little schnookums, and he's like, no, and I'm like, oh, he thinks his dog's going to escape. I'll stop him. Hello, little schnookums. Just little demon wiener dog, right? Yeah. And I'm like bleeding, like, oh, it's okay. And instantly I felt compassion for the dog. I was like, oh, the little dog's had a rough life, obviously. I'm going to go ahead, and the first thing you do, you know, did that really happen? Like, yes, that happened. I'm bleeding, right? Got back in my truck, finished the job I was on, elevated my arm. In the name of Jesus, I'm saying this. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke bacteria. I rebuke infections. Went to the urgent care, got them, you know, they cleaned it up and gave me a little thing to take. All is well. But what I'm saying is there's been some battles this week. And I'm here preaching to you about the goodness of God. Why? Because he's good. My cousin is in heaven. Right? The doctor asked me, do you still have your spleen? I was like, he didn't bite me that hard. He's like, well, no. If you don't have your spleen, you could die from that. I still got my spleen. So I said, thank you, Jesus. I still got my spleen. Hallelujah. Right? The girls, you know, with these things, praise God, we're not dealing with this virus. We've been singing songs like, what's those old songs? Na, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. And don't you come back no more. I was just yesterday. Hey, virus, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no. What are you going to do? What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do? Talk about it like it's this big thing that's never going to leave. Oh, we're just sick as dogs over here. Oh, we're just sick as dogs. Well, after all, it's flu season, but our immune systems are getting stronger because we're sick. No, we apply the blood. We anoint. We pray. We bind. Hallelujah. You know, just to show you that, you know, just because you're in ministry, you don't get the you know, curse exempt card, right? The devil's going to leave you alone exempt card because you're a pastor. No. We just start telling the devil, bring it on, sucker. Bring it on. You want some of this? You want some? Is that all you got? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you out of my house. Amen. Off our bodies. And then you just start praising God. I woke up Jesus saying, praise me like the battle's already been won. Yes, sir. So I turned it to praise. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you that this virus is defeated by the blood of Jesus. It's not spreading to anybody else, and it's leaving and never coming back. Hallelujah. Just say what you want. You want to be sick? Well, keep saying you're sick. You want to die? Keep saying you're going to die. You want to be well? Just start saying, I'm well. In the name of Jesus, I take my healing today. We took communion, right? Communion is an awesome tool to use, right? Because you know why? Because Jesus doesn't have a fever and a cough. So we took the body and the blood, and we said, in the name of Jesus, we receive our communion. We receive our health today. Amen. And we stand for healing in Jesus' name. And in the midst of it, you do what you got to do. You rest, you liquefy, you know what I'm saying? So you got to do some things in the natural as well. But you're not disconnecting from the supernatural in that process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Well, here's some things that Brother Keith Moore says and maybe you've seen it online. If you go to morelife.org, it's called God's Will to Heal. And you can download 101 verses, 101 things God says. Somebody say, God says, right, about your healing. And you can have that at home. You can print it out. You can have it on your phone, whatever. And we've been taking a segment of it every month this year since like April and using it in this service. And we're on number 81 through 91 today. So next month we'll finish it up. Praise the Lord. And God is so good. But this is from God's Will to Heal, 101 Things God Said, from Pastor Keith Moore. And here we go. And he made these more in terms of like faith statements, so you can go and research the verse exactly out. But these are confessions that we can be making over our health every day. Somebody say every day, right? Amen. Don't wait till something is trying to come on you. Just say, no, in Jesus' name today, I'm walking a healthy life. And then you're praying preventatively. Amen. Receiving communion, walking in praise to God. Amen. Even we've talked in past weeks about things in our diet that the Lord may need. I don't know about you, but God's on me about adjusting my diet. Right? You want to, you know, stop things from getting into your house, Steve? You need to cut back on all those donuts and mochas, because sugar just is like a magnet to sickness. Right? So there's basic things that the Holy Ghost, in exercising, you know, these kind of things, help us to stay in health. Praise the Lord. Brother Copeland's been on this heavy, heavy for a long time. The body of Christ needs to come to grips with the reality that your health, there's a lot more practical, common sense things attached to us walking in divine health than just pray for me. Right? Amen. It's kind of like the sin thing, right? Yes, Jesus forgave me of my sins, but I have to repent from my sins. Not so I can be saved, but so I can walk in victory and, you know, the Holy Ghost walks with me and helps me through things. And in health, there's things I have to change as well. And being sensitive to the Lord, right? I don't need a 14th coffee. I need water right now, right? Amen. Joint pain, right? A lot of it is related to I probably don't have enough water in my body. Amen. So I'm preaching to me as much as to anybody, right? But we're sensitive to the Holy Ghost and all these things, right? Praise the Lord. And we have to stop calling ourselves stuff. Well, I'll always be overweight. Well, I'll always have this problem. Well, I'll always. Well, I have this chronic condition. Shut yourself up and say what God says about you. Amen? Because what we say will come to pass in our life if we say it with any kind of faith, right? So we have to change our confession over things as well, okay? So these are things that God would have us say. You ready? So number 81, say this with me. The law of the Spirit of life in me has made you free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. Praise God. So life, not death. So no matter how old great-grandpa was and grandpa was when they went on to be with Jesus, you don't have to look at that as the ceiling for you. Amen? That's glorious news. I know of multiple people that I've been connected with that are over 100 now and still going. Hallelujah. The Bible says you can believe for 120 strong years. God's just looking for people that will believe for that. Amen? You don't have to. You can, you know, when you're good and ready with you and Jesus. But the ceiling has been raised. The bar has been raised in the body of Christ. Amen? Number 82, say this, the same spirit that raised me from the dead now lives in you, and that spirit will quicken your mortal body. Romans 8:11. So even if you're dealing with something like with this virus this week, God is quickening the recovery. He's speeding it up. If you've had something done, a surgery or whatever, you confess, yes, but my recovery time is speeded up in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is quickening my mortal body. Number 83, say this. Your body is a member of me. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Man, I'll tell you what. We've got to get over and away, and that's what I think a lot of the theme of next year is, this idea that God is out there. No. He's in you. He's on the inside of you. I mean, how do you, that's why I used to kind of bother me, why don't you hear God's voice audibly? Well, because audibly denotes distance, right? I'm hearing you because you're over there. You hear him from the inside. And I'll tell you what, there's no closer thing than being in him and him in you and just growing in your understanding of that. It will affect your health in every area of your life. Amen? Here we go. Number 84. Your body is the temple of my spirit, and yours to glorify me in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Number 85. If you'll rightly discern my body, which was broken for you, and judge yourself, you'll not be judged, and you'll not be weak, sick, or die prematurely. 1 Corinthians 11:29 through 31. So you can go back through these and meditate on them and pray through them. But, you know, that reminds me, don't be mad at people. Don't be mad at ministries and churches and, you know, people in the body of Christ. That only affects you. Amen. Just forgive, release, move on. Hallelujah. Number 86, say this. I have set gifts of healing in my body. 1 Corinthians 12:9. You want one of my favorite people that I hear currently that's teaching and preaching healing and moving in the gifts of miracles is Billy Burke. Just Google Billy Burke, B-U-R-K-E, and watch some of his stuff. I mean, it gets you excited about God's healing power, man. And he operates in the gift of miracles. Right? And I mean, just feeding on stuff like that, seeing it, putting in front of you, in your ears and eyes, helps you to receive and be in the attitude of also laying hands on people yourself. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number 87, my life may be made manifest in your mortal flesh, 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11. Number 88, I have delivered you from death. I do deliver you, and if you trust me, I will yet deliver you. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Number 89, I have given you my name and have put all things under your feet. Ephesians 1:21 and 22. Man, use the name of Jesus. Use his name because his name belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that off my life. Hallelujah, right? Number 90, I want it to be well with you, and I want you to live long on the earth. Ephesians 6:3. And then 91, I have delivered you from the authority of darkness. Colossians 1:13. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Why don't y'all stand up on your feet as we're going to close with this faith confession, and we're just going to receive our healing this morning. And then after we say this, if there's anybody that wants hands laid on you for healing, come on up and we'll pray for you. Amen. So say this out loud. Jesus Christ is Lord over me, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I enforce the will of God on you today. Leave my presence now. I believe I receive my healing now. I am well now. In Jesus' name, I forgive and receive my forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands and receive your healing and health today over your body. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And we praise you for being our healer today, Lord. Spirit, soul, and body, we call us well in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the praise and glory, all the praise and glory, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. Due to our time constraints in this facility, this concludes our service for this portion. We can fellowship now. But if you need prayer for healing, come on up. Amen. But you're officially dismissed. Amen.